NPR.
Today is a holiday, but it is not a holiday you are likely to see on your calendar, and that is because it is Prime Day. When's that
Prime Day? Ah, yes, the two-day annual sales bonanza brought to you by the ginormous online retailer Amazon.
And here to unpack some of the drama simmering beneath the surface of Prime Day is Alana Samuels, senior economics correspondent at Time Magazine. Alana, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me back on this shopping holiday. Prime Day is not just a huge deal for Amazon, the company. It's a huge deal for third-party sellers. You know, the small and medium businesses who source and sell products on Amazon. They accounted for nearly two-thirds of Amazon sales last year.
Two-thirds of Amazon sales. That is a lot of people figuring out how to sell stuff on Amazon. But that was last year, right? So what's in store for this year?
Well, here's what one Amazon seller told me.
Basically, our industry is not going to make money this year, and a lot of companies are going to go bankrupt.
That was Mike Molson Hart. He became a third-party seller in 2014, and he has a toy company called Via Hart. It sells 3D puzzles called Brain Flakes.
I love the name.
So Mike says consumer demand is down and Amazon fees are up. And so he's stuck with a whole warehouse full of toys that he bought when he thought people were going to shop online forever and ever and ever. This is Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Alana Samuels.
I'm Adrian Ma. Today on the show, the pandemic-driven e-commerce boom is over. What that means for the future of online shopping and Amazon and small businesses like Mike's.
At first, for Mike Molson Hart, selling on Amazon felt like a sure thing.
There were these golden years of Amazon where there wasn't much competition, but there was a ton of demand. So if you were selling there, you would make a lot of money.
When were the golden years? Like what years do you think that was?
2014 was amazing. Then 2015, still amazing, slightly worse.
And that continues until 2020. Then the pandemic comes along and is an even bigger boost for sellers.
I mean, what didn't I buy online during the pandemic?
So many diapers.
So essential.
Not for myself, by the way, for my baby. So at first, the pandemic was really good for e-commerce. Sales jumped 36% in 2020, and then the next year, another 18%. And some people thought e-commerce was going to completely replace brick and mortar.
But what ended up happening is whenever something looks profitable, it looks great, we're e-commerce revolution, we're never going to open stores again, everything is just going to switch 100% to e-commerce, more people flood in. And so by the beginning of 2021, there were more sellers. And then by the beginning of 2022, there are even more sellers.
In 2020 alone, more than 200,000 new third-party sellers started retailing on Amazon, which is a ton more than the previous year.
And in some ways, what happened back then was Amazon's marketplace became an example of what economists call perfect competition. Barriers to entry were low. There were lots of sellers and lots of buyers. And no one entity had too much power.
Of course, perfect competition is more of a theory. It doesn't exactly exist in the real world. In the real world, the market becomes imbalanced pretty quickly. So to fill all the orders I think shoppers are going to make, Amazon sellers are ordering more and more and more stuff from overseas.
And, you know, we've talked about this on the show before. Shipping and railroad and trucking companies, they can't move the stuff fast enough. And meanwhile, prices are going up. Transit times are slowing down, and by the end of last year, consumers are facing pretty high inflation. So what do? They cut back on spending, on discretionary stuff, stuff they don't really have to have.
And some of them also start returning to those brick-and-mortar stores since they've gotten vaccinated, and they miss shopping in real life.
Meanwhile, this change in consumer behavior was probably not great for Mike and a lot of other Amazon third-party sellers.
No, it was not. Retailers like Mike are stuck with a lot of extra stuff. Like, so much extra stuff, it won't even fit in the warehouse, and he had to move it to his office.
So, fast forward to early 22, you have all this inventory that finally gets here, and are people still buying it?
No. they started to reduce their purchases.
So, it turns out, smallish companies like Mike's, and actually giant ones like Walmart and Target and even Amazon, way overestimated how much people were going to transition to online shopping. Remember, e-commerce is really only about 15% of retail sales today.
That's up a bit from pre-pandemic levels, but not anywhere near the majority of sales.
And of course, Amazon's marketplace might in theory seem like an example of perfect competition, but depending on where you sit in this ecosystem, it could also feel like an example of the exact opposite thing, which is a monopoly. Right? We often think about this as a buyer thing, but it could also be where sellers only have a choice to deal with one company.
Yeah, exactly. So Mike relies on Amazon for 90-something percent of his sales. And other sellers say the same thing. They might want to sell somewhere else, but they have to go to Amazon because it's where the shoppers are.
So if Amazon is a monopoly, it can pass on costs to sellers, and they can't really do anything about it, which is exactly what Amazon did this year.
So items that used to ship out of Amazon for like $3 are now shipping $6.50, $7.
And those fees aren't just from Amazon. Things like pallets, those flat wooden structures that you use to transport goods, are also getting really expensive.
Pallets in 2019 were like $2.75 each. Pallets today are like $10.
You have to buy those? You don't just like, you can't just like reuse them?
We receive containers from Asia and there are no pallets inside. And then we palletize the goods and ship them to Amazon. But Amazon doesn't give us back our pallets. So we're constantly giving Amazon these pallets.
They don't give them back.
Jeff Bezos, give us back our pallets.
In the company's most recent earnings call, it said that it is trying to offset inflation by passing on more costs to third-party sellers.
So in January, our costs went up on average around 40, 45%.
That's a lot. And some of those costs are just a result of a really crowded marketplace. Like we said, all these third-party sellers jumping into the fray. But with Mike's costs way up and his sales not growing like he expected, if he wants to get rid of all of his inventory, he has to lower prices. The problem is,
it's difficult to lower your prices when your costs are going up. You can lose money. We sell this racket game called Goodminton. We were making like $4 a set in 2020, and now we're making 85 cents a set before we pay insurance, our rent, our salaries, and all these other costs. So kind of right now, it's net not profitable.
Which brings us back to Prime Day. So usually third-party sellers tell Amazon the deals they want to offer, and then they pay a fee, and Amazon advertises those deals. But because costs are already so high this year, Prime Day can become a big money loser, even if you have lots of excess inventory.
If we want to use Prime Day to clear that stock, we basically have to lose money.
We did reach out to Amazon about this, and Amazon said most of the added fees are just part of its yearly adjustments. And it says it's still a pretty sweet deal for third-party sellers.
Yeah, but is it really a sweet deal for shoppers? I mean, what Mike predicted at the top of the show was that we were going to see third-party sellers go bankrupt across the industry. So if there are fewer sellers and less competition in this Amazon marketplace, what customers could end up seeing is higher prices, fewer options, and more out of stocks.
They better not be out of stock of my diapers.
I thought they weren't your diapers, Alana.
Not literally my diapers. Anyway, e-commerce is still going to grow, just not as quickly as it did at the beginning of the pandemic. And Mike says if that's the case, he'll be okay.
The whole idea is like, okay, we can survive and it'll knock out a bunch of our competition, hopefully. And then, you know, we'll return to profitability. We'll return to growth. If we go into the Great Depression 2.0, then maybe I'll be eating those brain flakes.
Brain flakes, you know, those are the puzzles that his company makes. Although it does kind of sound like a morbidly delicious breakfast cereal.
Kellogg, take a memo.
This episode was produced by Viet Le and Nikki Willett with engineering by James Willits. Catherine Yang checked the facts. Our senior producer is Viet Le. Kaken Cannon edits the show, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.